this way, that our crossing the border had to be delayed by 4 or 5 hours, and instead of reaching 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock we will cross in a few hours, 4 o'clock we would have been there at the time when the SS were there, and we would have been caught. So father had to get lost, as you know, Baal Shem Tov says, but a person is driving. For example, you go to the Catskills, you come back, how many times it happens, you come back, you take the wrong turn, and you lose your way, and you waste a half an hour or an hour until you come back to your proper place. So Baal Shem Tov says you should know it's never just a mistake, never just a coincidence, don't feel bad. Hashem wanted you should get lost on this place, you should drive on this place, Yishe Hashem must say Advar Teir or something, Yishe Hashem should be on this place. So here you have, my father got lost, and therefore I'm here today, I can speak, otherwise I will be shot there in January, February, April in 1944. Anyways, so my father paid this watchman from the Hungarian side, and these two people took us into the first village on the border in Slovakia. They suspected that eventually they'll bring some Jews, so we came to this place. They took us up into the attic and covered the whole attic with hay. You know, these farmer peasants, so had a lot of hay prepared for winter, for the animal, for the cows, and so on. So they put us up in the attic and filled up the whole attic full with hay. If somebody comes up to the attic, there's no way how they can see us, but even just to open up, they would have to take loads of hay. What do you think? It was 6 o'clock in the morning, a whole group of SS comes, and they suspected that some Jews are in their house, because they saw them continuously going to the border, and they were searching, and they came up to the attic. Just imagine how our hearts beat. They started to take away the hay, and just a little bit of more hay they would have taken us, they would find a treasure, Jews. And they did not find. They took away half of the attic, and we're behind it, and they didn't find us. The voice I make, so this is, again, you can see each story itself, it's just a coincidence they stopped here. My father had to get lost, make a mistake, each thing itself. But let me jump ahead, because I should tell you the whole story will take not hours and not days, but weeks and months. Mum is the stories which we went through. Let me jump ahead all the way till it was already middle of summer. They started to take the Jews from the capital of Slovakia. VIPs, there were still around 20,000 Jews in Slovakia, and Hitler wanted to make the final solution. And when Hitler saw that he's going to lose the war, then it became even, as you know, for example, the din is like this. If an animal kicks another animal, for example, take like this, a cow kicks a sheep or a goat, and you shecht it. So there is always the suspicion or the fear, maybe when you kicked, maybe it made such a mum, such a blemish. In an animal, for example, pierced the lung. So maybe the animal is trafer. So we say that when you shech the behemoth, the animal, you have to take out the lung, you have to blow it up to see whether the animal, the lung wasn't ruptured by the kick of this cow. How about for whatever reason, you couldn't check up the lung, it was lost or mixed with other lungs, you don't know which one is the lung of the cow or the sheep or the goat or the little calf which was kicked, so the din is, then we'd say it's most likely it's kosher, so you can eat. How about an animal which was slaughtered, geschachten, and this slaughtered cow gives a kick a goat or a sheep or a calf, and then you have to check up, and you couldn't check up, then we say it's trefer. Because when the animal sees that it's on the verge of death, then it gives such a mighty kick that most likely by through the kick, he did puncture or piece through a rib, the lung, or the intestines, and strafe. In other words, if the animal was, before the animal was shocked, and just for whatever reason gives a kick, then we say you have to check out the lung or the intestines if they were not pierced. But how about if for whatever reason he couldn't, so then we say it's okay. But how about when the animal was slaughtered? Geschachten. Do you ever see by Capores? When the chicken is slaughtered, you see how it throws itself? If little more than during a life. Same thing an animal. Then once it's geschachten, and that gives a kick. It gives such a mighty kick that then it's most likely, unless we know otherwise, we assume that it gives such a mighty kick that through this kick it punctures through the lung or the intestines, the kidneys of the other animal. And unless we are certified that it's not so, so then the boy said, this we also see nowadays. How come nowadays this immorality and this wickedness and this evilness is so powerful? Because the Satan sees this big geschachten. It now is the last moment of the existence of the Satan. The last moment of the Satan's existence. So then it gives so mightily, and therefore with all this phenomena which people would never imagine, this hippism and this guruism and this, all this mishugas which normal people would never imagine such a thing is possible. Why is it? Because now the Satan puts its all its might, and just before it sees that it's being slaughtered, and it's being slaughtered now before Mashiach comes, that's why he puts all his force. Hitler the same thing. From 1944 on, he was so desperate, he knew that he's going to lose the war, and he wanted to kill as many Jews as possible to bring this final solution about. So he, in 1944, more Jews died than in 1938 and 1944 combined all the Jews together. So consequently, he did everything possible he should just to at Eden. So we became, in 1944, he took also all the remnants from Slovakia, even the VIPs who the government needed. Rabbi, let me just also deviate for a second. We speak about religion. What is religion? Mainly, one of the most important aspects of religion is morality and ethics. Goodness, kindness, gentleness. This our person understands what's religion. To realize Slovakia, where we come from, was the only country in whole Europe not only permitted Hitler to take Jews to Auschwitz. Slovakia was the only country in whole Europe which actually paid a head tax to Hitler for every Jew that they took to Auschwitz. Not only they permitted the Jews, their citizens, to be taken to Auschwitz, but even paid Hitler to take the Jews. Now, what's so unique about it? They said they were more anti-Semites than any other country. Just realize, Slovakia, the president was a cardinal, Cardinal Tiso. The prime minister was a bishop, Prime Minister Tuka. The whole government was run by the clergy. Where was the Pope? So he could not influence Hitler. Okay, this is not true. But that's what at least he tried to excuse himself, that Pope Pius XII, he could not influence Hitler for whatever reason, which is absolutely falsehood. But at least we can maybe, given the doubt, we can accept it, that maybe it's not true, that he couldn't, because it's absolutely not true. But how about Slovakia? The president was a prince of the church. The prime minister was a prince of the church. Not only that, the Pope didn't intervene, didn't stop, but Slovakia was more vicious than any other country, including Germany. Any other place did not pay for the government, for Hitler, to take for a Jews. Only Slovakia, the priest, the Catholic priest, they gave for every Jew for the Germany, to take as many Jews, and more Jews, the more they paid. Can you imagine? Here you have the Catholic Church, and let not anybody tell you, they tried as much as they could. They were more vicious than any other nation. Dafka, the Catholic Church. The Prime Minister and the President were clergy, cardinals and bishops, and they paid, not only they permitted, Hungary and Bulgaria and Romania and all other countries permitted, but did not pay. Here they paid, they should take us like vermin, like insects. You know, you pay our exterminator to take out the cockroaches. So that's what they did, the president. They paid to eliminate the Jews from Slovakia. Anyways, coming back to 1944, Rebbe Isai. It was October. I said, I have to jump ahead because Mamish, on the way itself, I should tell you all this, just miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles. It was 1944. We escaped from one place to another place, continuously escaping in Slovakia itself also, because once they saw already Hitler, that he's losing the war, So he was just determined to kill as many Jews as possible. So he took all, even those who permitted in 1942 to remain. Came 1944, everybody should be taken. So then, again, as I said, I mean, it would be very interesting if you just tell the stories in between. Also, mamish miracles. 1944. How can we save ourselves? They took from, we settled in Bratislava, which is the capital of Slovakia. There, they started to take every Jew. We bought, before, we were living there for a few months, there was a certain Jew. He thought, by becoming an informer to the SS, to the Germans, he'll be able to save his life, his skin. I remember as we were walking on the streets, whenever my father saw this person, just a shiver went through his spine. He saw the whole body start to shake. And he always said, in front of this person, don't speak, because as soon as you find out that this person, he finds out that you are Jews, immediately goes to the SS and you are taken. But soon you'll see about this Mosser. Can you save your life at the expense of another Jew? So soon you'll see it. Anyways, how could we save ourselves? At least we attempted. So my father bought in our most exclusive, the most expensive, the most beautiful suburb in Bratislava, a villa. And there we thought, nobody knows that we are Yidden. We got papers like we are non-Jews. See, you mustn't say, I mean, you go by, no, but we just got papers like non-Jews, and we pulled down the shades, and this most exclusive neighborhood, our most expensive, beautiful house my father bought, and there we were hiding. They took all the Jews from the city, but they did not expect in this exclusive, the ministers, the most high-class people would live there. So there in this house is also a Jew. Of course, we always had the shades down, so they must have been suspicious. What's going on? Such a beautiful house, and all the shades be down. But Baruch Hashem, several times they came to check us. So every time my father used to, Monday, so we had to have different names and different birthplace and birth dates and place where we were born. One night, it was a Thursday night, I tell my mother, I forgot my name. I don't know my name, my Goyish name. So my mother takes out from the closet the papers. She tells me, and I had to review it. I said like 100 times, a funny Goyish name, like, you know, McAllister, like here in America. Somehow Jews called brown or green. Sometimes Mac something. So I had, until I had to review it several times. I remember exactly where I was born in this city in Hungary, and in this date, and my name is like this, and my grandfather's name is like this, all this. What do you think? Middle of the night, police come for identification. They come in, and Baruch Hashem, they ask, what's my name? I knew my name. And the night, just a few hours before, I said to my mother, I just don't remember my name. Just imagine, they ask, what's your name? You don't know your name. So immediately give out yourself. But anyways, so we got that again from the lion's den. A few weeks later, in the meantime, you know, transports went to Auschwitz. What did many Yidden do? Many Yidden broke open the coaches. They jumped out for the coaches going to Auschwitz. But it was a whole art, or let me say some, a whole science, how to jump from a speeding coach. You should not be killed. First of all, just the wind itself, if you don't know how to jump, just the wind itself just suddenly cast you under, throws you under the wheels, and your mom is crashed on the spot. Moreover, from Slovakia to Poland to Auschwitz, most of the ways was through forests. You jump out, and from the tracks, you have to jump very far, because we're taught how to jump, because if you don't jump very far, just the wind puts you, schleps you under the wheels. If you jump further away, you jump into a tree, and your mom is crashed. All this force, how the train is speeding. And new speed of jumping, all this speed together against a telephone pole, or more likely in a tree in the forest, you become a mesh. Mom is completely crashed. But some Yidden did escape. They came back to Bratislava, Rabbi Isai. Where can they hide? Where can they go? Baruch Hashem, we had a good reputation. They heard, people spoke, like a few Yidden who were still around. They said the Mangels have a villa at this and this outskirt. So go there, hide yourself there. So in the previous 3 or 4 weeks, one person, another person, until the villa was so filled up that there were no more beds or couches, simply on the carpet, people were sleeping. The whole house was just simply a big bedroom. Everybody sleeping. It was a certain night, 1 o'clock at night. We had to give away, I gave away my bed, my sister gave away her bed. So I was sleeping with my father. My sister was sleeping with mother. Just simply for the other people. And there was hordes of people in our villa. We hear the house was surrounded. We hear around the garden, around the SS are surrounding the building. So they woke me up. My father and mother were speaking. The house is being surrounded. So my father says to my mother, what can we do now? Like this, at least you can jump out into the garden, back. But the house was completely surrounded. And as my father and my mother discussing any way how to escape, suddenly knock on the door. My father went to the door to open up the door. SS marches in. Without asking a question before, they ask, are you Jewish? So my father took out the papers and showed. And he just asked everybody, what's your name, how old you, where are you born? So we could say that we are goyim, non-Jews. Here he didn't have to ask anything. He just looked at the foyer, the living room. All over, just people were spread out sleeping. He didn't have any more to ask. He gave my father a punch. And not my father, he gave such a punch. He fell through the whole foyer and he stumbled all, fell all the way into the living room. And then a whole horde of SS come in. He says, pack yourself together. You're all being taken. This woman were caught by the SS. I said, before, they came to our house 4 times. And each time, we got out. Mamish miraculous. I told you once, when I didn't know, just a few hours before, I didn't know my name. But every time, I still a different miracle. Here, it was the end of the mises, of the miracles. The SS caught us. And we had to pack up. And we were taken big trolleys, and they went from neighbor to neighborhood. Within a few hours, these big trucks were filled with Jews. And the boys said we were taken to the headquarters of the Gestapo, a few hundred people. We were there for over a week, because the Gestapo, they didn't take, in Slovakia itself was also a concentration camp. When the concentration camp had 40,000 Jews minimum, then they took these people from there to Auschwitz. But they didn't take just every few hundred people or every few thousand people. They had to have a big number of people, the minimum 40,000 people, then took them to Auschwitz. They're over a week in the Gestapo. Rabbi Yisrael, the first few days, they did not give us anything whatsoever to eat. Nothing whatsoever. It was, I think, the fourth or fifth day. Nothing whatsoever. You can imagine, after this Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, you think that your mama should neshama like expire. You just don't know how strong man is. As a child, for 4 or 5 days, we ate absolutely nothing. It came the fifth day, I don't know exactly, fifth day, they gave us a big slice of salami. For me, Trefer, that's how a European child was in Cheder brought up. For me, salami, trefer food, was worse than poison. I simply could not bring myself, after 4 or 5 days, absolutely nothing, not eating anything whatsoever, I couldn't bring myself that I should be able to put this trefer salami to my mouth. My mother started to cry, and he says, listen, it's a mitzvah to save a pikuach nefesh, is doche kol ha-tore kuloi. Eat it, Hashem wants you. I want you should eat it. You know, I was a child. I didn't know all these mice, pikuach nefesh. I didn't know all these mice. I knew trefer is trefer. For me, trefer was poison. And I could not bring myself. How can I, if a person is hungry, who is going to eat poison? For me, trefer, for example, just imagine food. You have a very good portion of chont. But somebody who has AIDS spit into this child. Will you eat it? Under no circumstances will you eat it. I, for me, I just simply couldn't make it myself. I should eat. This trafer thing is worse than someone has AIDS spit into the child. I just simply couldn't do it. My mother was crying, kept on crying. Said, Hashem wants you should eat pekach nefesh, don't save your life. So after I saw her crying so much, so I ate it. It did not pass a minute or two. And just in my system is trafer, in my body is trafer. It was for me so despicable, so abhorring. I didn't have to put my finger in my mouth to throw up. Just the fact I have trafer in my system, it was for me so painful. Myself, the whole thing just vomited out. The whole trafer. Now until Auschwitz, I never ate anything.